Okay, Perek, hey, middle of Pasuk, Tezayin, 16, 564. Okay, the last thing we're learning is the dinner was called Me'ila. Somebody misuses the Beis HaMikdash. We discussed this also concept of eating without a bracha. It's like you're stealing from Hashem, so there's a concept of Me'ila. Me'ila means if somebody accidentally misuses an object of the Beis HaMikdash for personal use. So the Torah said before that what you need to do, you have to bring an asham, okay, and it has to be kesef shkolim. The Torah doesn't say how much, but if the Torah says shkolim plural, it means automatically two. Because then, we know, like we said, anytime the Torah says a plural amount without an exact amount, it automatically means two. Okay, and then it says like this: ve'eser shechotim and akedush shalim. In addition to the guilt offering, this we got into a little bit. We didn't finish it though. Eser shechotim and akedush shalim. What he sinned from the Beis HaMikdash, let's say he misused $10 worth, so he has to pay $10. Plus an additional fifth. And we explained what the Gemara says, the Medrash says, a fifth here means a quarter. In other words, when the Torah says, anytime the Torah says a fifth, mean, if you took, let's say, four shekels, it'd have to be five. Meaning, when what you give is a fifth of the total amount, so another by a fifth, it's just mathematically a quarter. That is what you have to pay. Okay? Now, who do you give the money to? Who keeps the money? The korban, that goes to Hashem. The money, believe it or not, he goes to the kohen. I'm sorry, no. not. Because later it says in the pasuk, v'nasan ayse l'kohen. Okay? It says, v'nasan ayse l'kohen, you give it to the kohen. So, Rashi says, the Rishonim write, it doesn't mean you give the money to the Kohen. The Kohen gets the carbon to bring it on the Mizbeach. The money goes to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? In other words, sometimes, like for instance, if you steal something, you pay double, that goes to the owner. But if you have to pay Hegdish, like the fifth that you have, or the quarter that you have to pay, that money goes to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, not to the Kohen. So even though when you learn the Pasuk simply, it implies like this: you have to pay a fifth and you give it to the Kohen. Okay? But the Gemara, the Medrash says it doesn't mean that. It means v'nasa naisa l'kohen v'kohen nechaper olav be'la'ashem. That's what it means. You give the carbon to the Kohen and that carbon forgives you for the sin that you did. V'nislach lo'yen, and you're forgiven. But again, now, okay. That's this din. Next starts a din, it's called Ashim Toloi. And just give me I'll give you a brief introduction to the concept of Ashim Toloi. Ashim Toloi means you did an Aveda that normally the punishment would be Karis, that Hashem would kill you early, young, but the problem over here is you don't know if you sinned or not. To give the classic case that the Gemara gives, there's kosher fats. There's more. What? One second. In a certain respect, there's shuman and there's chalev. Okay, there's two types of fats in an animal. Shuman is the kosher fats, and chalev is the treifa fats. Now, if you eat shuman, no problem. You're allowed to eat it. If you eat chalev, the punishment is karis. That's the Torah says clearly. It's one of the few things you get karis for. What happens if there are two piles of fats? One was shuman, one was chalev. You ate one, and you didn't know which one you ate. So this is what we're talking about now. It's called Ashim Toloi. It's a hanging Ashim. Now, as we'll soon learn, this carbon is only valid if you never found out you sinned. It remained a doubt. What happens if you ate one of the two, and you didn't know which one was treif or kosher, so you brought the Ashim Toloi, and later you found out that the one you ate was really treif?
It's better not to find out.
Then you have to bring another Karbon Chatos. Ignorance is bliss. And that's the truth. Then you'd have to bring another Chatos. In other words, this Ashim Toloi only forgives the doubt. But if you find out for sure that you did the Aveda, you have to bring another Karbon.
It's more expensive.
This is more expensive. We'll soon see. Okay. Like he says here, the expression, its effect is to protect him from punishment as long as the fact remains in doubt. If, however, Rashi brings it down over here, after bringing the Osham, he learns that Itaka sinned, so then he needs to bring a Korban Chatos. The punishment would be Karis.
Right.
Right.
So, but if the punishment would be Karis, how could you make a...
We don't know if the guy ate or not.
Yeah, but once you do know, don't you automatically get the punishment?
No. Or? No, if you did Shuvah and you repented, Hashem takes away Karis. We learned this in the past. Any punishment the heavenly court gives you, Shuvah works. Any punishment the earthly court gives you, Shuvah doesn't help.
By the Kuma, he did it b'shogeg. I guess that's a question.
No, if later, yeah.
He didn't know, he wasn't sure that if this was...
He didn't answer the question, I thought that was...
No, he's making a valid point that I should have realized myself.
The
chorus is only if you did it intentionally.
Okay.
Here the guy did it accidentally, so there's no chorus anyway. But the truth is that even if you do an aver of chorus, you can still do tshuva.
Right, but it falls into that category.
Of accident, yeah. What?
In the time of Beit HaMikdash, if somebody sinned, who will determine what kind of korban?
Depends on what we're learning here. The sin is a chatos, the sin is an asham.
So whom did they have to go to the rabbi?
The kohen or the rabbi, or they, learn the Gemara. In fact, in the Rambam, when he goes in the laws of korbanos, the Rambam says all these types of sins is korban chatos. All these types of sins would be korban asham. All these types of sins,
Were people more learned about these laws too?
No, it depends. It says in the days of Yechon and Kohen Gadol, they sent out messengers throughout Eretz Yisrael, and they found that there wasn't a little kid that wasn't expert in all the laws of purity and impurity. That there wasn't a kid that wasn't Baki Behilchus Tumah V'Tahara. It depends, certain times.
So they knew.
A lot of people knew. Like we said, 150 years ago, that's not that long ago, 150, 200 years ago, it was not uncommon for Bar Mitzvah boy to know the whole Shas by heart. All the Gemaras by heart. It wasn't uncommon. Now, when a kid did it, it wasn't a big thing, it was pretty common. Today, forget it. So there was the whole Gemara, all the Gemaras by heart. Yeah, wow. Listen, they had nothing else to do all day. They were bored, so they learned. Okay, so then it says like this. Pasuk Yitzayin. Vim nefesh kisechto, if a person will sin, v'os ha'sonim will do, achas mikom mitzvahs Hashem, one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, ashalei si asena, which Hashem told him not to do, v'li yoda, and he doesn't know, v'oshim, and he became guilty, meaning then he realized that he might have done something wrong, Vinasa Avaina, he bears his iniquity, meaning he bears his sin. So what does he have to bring? Behavior Ayel Tomim Minatzein, he has to bring a unblemished, a complete ram from the flock of sheep. Be'erkocho La'osham, the proper value of a gift offering, it was 2 shekels to the Kohen. V'chiper Olav HaKohen Asher Gagosa Sheshogag, and the Kohen will forgive him for the accident that he accidentally did. V'hulayada, he didn't know. V'nislach, and then he'll be forgiven. From here, the Gemara learns out, like we said, that it's only if he doesn't know he's forgiven with this carbon. Which means if he eventually finds out, then he has to bring a carbon chatas. It's a very interesting Rashi over here. It's a long Rashi. It's a very interesting question. Why Rashi brings it down over here? But the Pasuk says a very interesting statement. Rashi discusses at great length. It says over here, in the Pasuk Yudzayin, he doesn't know that he sinned, but he has to carry his guilt. He carries his sin. Which means, the Torah is saying, if you don't even know you sinned, you have to carry your guilt. Even, so to speak, on a doubtful sin, the Torah says, v'nasa v'ini, you have to carry your guilt.
So you have to judge yourself contingent.
So Rashi brings on like this. How much more so, it's really the Sifra, the Medrash. How much more so will one be punished if he knows he sinned? And as what if even your doubtful sinned? The Torah says, in fact, it was mentioned, the Ashram Tolui was really a more expensive carbon, because like we said, when a person knows for sure they sinned, then they'll do tshuva. When you're doubtful if you sinned, now people say, oh, maybe I didn't sin, it's 50-50, you know, why should I do tshuva? Why should I waste my time doing tshuva when there's a 50% chance that I didn't sin? So the Torah says you have to pay more money, it costs more expensive, because, you know, you want to hit the person, so to speak, where it counts in the pocketbook. But Rashi brings down Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And it says like this, we know there's a rule, Meruba mida teva mi mida peronius. But Hashem, good is much better than evil. That the Gemara says, it's 500 times, good is 500 times better than bad. Where do we learn it out from? From the Ten Commandments. The Theres of Dibbis says, Nesi oven vepesha al shileshim, baudi beim lesoinoi. The Torah says, and that's the Dibris, that Hashem carries the sin, Perkeid avein aves al banim, Hashem carries the sin of parents and children, al shileshim on three generations, val ribayim, and four generations. That's what this says. So how far does Hashem carry sins? Four generations. The next pasuk in the Aser Sadibra says, "Va'ase chesed lo alafim to 2,000 generations, le'ayavai to the ones that love me, le'shem in mitzvah to keep my mitzvahs." So it says clearly in the Ten Commandments that when it comes to evil, Hashem punishes four generations. When it comes to rewarding good, it's 2,000 generations. So the Gemara learns mikan. From here we learn that meruba mida teva mi mida peronius. Good is better than bad 500 times fold. Okay? So the Rashi calls it this. Rabbi Yosi says, we see from Adam Rishon we can learn how great the reward is for doing a mitzvah. Why? He says, Adam Rishon had one mitzvah, not to eat from the tree, and he blew it. So look at the punishment. Billions of people die, death in the world, is because of the Chatei Tzedas, right? For all generations. Because of his failure, death was decreed unto billions of people. Now, if Hashem's kindness, the Yosi says, is better, 500 times better than bad, so you can imagine how much reward a Jew will get even for keeping one mitzvah. Adam Arishan did one Aveda, was punished death for so many generations, until the end of time. So how much more so when a Jew does a mitzvah? Rabbi Kiva says, not a different concept. A third and fourth false witness, who adds a testimony to that of two, are punished even though their testimony was unnecessary. Meaning there's a din of Edom Zaymim. Right? Edom Zaymim, we learned, two witnesses tested, the Rashi quotes here. This whole thing that I'm saying. There's a din that if witnesses testified that they saw Reuven kill Shimon Monday morning in L.A., and then another group of witnesses come, how can you say that you saw them in L.A.? You were with us in Hawaii. So the din is you do to the two witnesses what they wanted to do. They wanted to kill the one they spoke witness against, so you kill them. So what happens if four people come to testify that Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in L.A. Comes another two witnesses and say, you four were with us in Hawaii. So what's the din? You kill all four, right? That's the halacha, you kill them all. The question is, the second two witnesses can come and say, 1 minute. Our testimony was worthless because you already have two witnesses. You know, the second two of the four, they can say, why would we be punished? We didn't do anything. Yet, halacha is, he killed them anyway. So how much more so? A person who joins, Rabbi Kiva says, people who do good, even though you're not the only ones doing the good, you're joining other people doing good, how much more so will you get rewarded for who knows how much? Now, Belazar ben Azariah says another thing. If a farmer drops an ear of grain, okay, and is picked up by a poor person, leket, right? You drop, a farmer is gathering the stuff and something falls on the floor. So you have to leave it for the poor person. When you leave it for the poor person, the Torah says, Ubeirachacha Hashem alakacha. Hashem will bless you. So he says, if Hashem could bless somebody who did a mitzvah not even knowing they did a mitzvah, not even, like shikha, if you get something in the field, and the poor man comes and gets it, then Hashem rewards you. So he says, can you imagine, Abba Lozman Azariah says, if Hashem rewards a person for not even knowing they did a mitzvah, how much more so when you know you're doing a mitzvah and you do it, you can imagine how much reward we get from it. Okay? This is what Rashi says here. Mentioned in all these cases. So the question is, like, how does it get here? Here the Torah is saying that Hashem, you are, if you sin accidentally, you don't even know you sinned. Like we said, you ate one, you didn't eat the other, you don't know which one's treif. Then you have to bring the Sashim Tali. So he said, and the Pasuk says you're going to carry your sin. So how much more so when it comes to the good? So now Rashi is explaining the good that's coming from the Pasuk. He's not interpreting the Pasuk in a negative way. Rashi says what the Pasuk really means to tell us, that you can imagine how much more so when you do a mitzvah. But taking the negative side of it, the bottom line of it is, though, that when a person does an aveda, even if it's a doubt, a person needs to feel guilty about it. You know, you shouldn't think, oh, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Even if it's maybe you did, you're also supposed to feel guilty. A physical example of this is very simple. If a person drank something, and then they found out it might be poison. It might be poison. The guy's not going to go home and say, ah, you know what, it's 50-50, yeah, I won't worry about it. They're going to go to the doctor and pump out the stomach, and it's 50-50. But when it comes to life and death, then you don't play games with all this. Okay. Body that we said. Okay. Huh? Okay, then the Pasuk says. Hello. Okay, so he says that this is, therefore we said it had to be more strict with this, to the extent that when he finds out, he has to bring a second carbon also. Okay, then the Pasuk says like this. Pasuk Yutes. Ashem hu, it's a guilt offering. Ashem, Asham Lashem. He sinned to Hashem. So the Mefarshim explain, what does the Torah teach us over here? What does it mean? That the Torah, what's the double expression, Asham? To teach us that if the guy later finds out, again, you have to bring another carbon. The carbon that you brought on a doubt is no good. Okay, that's this din of Ashim Tolui. Now starts another style of a din. This is a monetary aveda. Okay, what's this sin? Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "Nefesh ki sechto, if a person will sin, u'mala mal ba Hashem, and he did a treachery against Hashem." Now, over here, it's speaking about cheating another Jew. I mean, you're not allowed to cheat a guy either, by the way. But he's speaking about, you're not allowed to cheat cheating a Jew. Yet, it says you're doing an Averet Hashem. Mola Mal Hashem. Why is it doing a Me'ila Hashem? So Rashi says like this. What case are we speaking about? We're speaking about a case where the person doesn't know. Well, let's put it, nobody else knows what you stole except you and God. The parties in we're soon going to see. When a person denies, as we'll soon see the pasuk speaking, you take money legally and then you deny it. That you didn't steal. Somebody lent you money, you're not paying it back. Somebody gave you something to watch, you don't give it back. So you're denying money, you didn't take it, you didn't steal it. It's in your possession legally, but you have an obligation to take it back. So he says, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that if somebody steals like that from a person, he's basically denying that Hashem is watching over him. Because what are you denying? Hashem is there. You're denying in the presence of Hashem that you didn't take the loan, that that the guy didn't give you the object to watch. Your mom is denying Hashem. And we'll soon see what that means. Because here, okay, we'll learn a few psukim and we'll discuss this. There's an interesting concept over here. Nevikri sachdaf, a person will sin. Umala mal b'Hashem and commit a treachery against Hashem. V'kirech b'mitzos b'misai, by lying to his friend. In what? V'pikodin, either something that he gave you to watch. Or b'sumas yod, or alone. Or b'gozel, or b'stealing. Or oshak asam misai, he cheated his friend. Cheated his friend in business or whatever it may be. So, or, we'll say something. Or matzah aveda. We'll learn a few psukim and then we'll discuss. A matzah aveda. Or somebody lost the lost article. You found it. The kirish ba, and you denied it. The nishbal shaker, and you swore falsely. You know, this din that we're learning about in all these cases is when you steal money from somebody. Or deny that it's the person's money, therefore you refuse to give it back, and you swear that you're not obligated to give it back. Okay, this is this type of carbon that you have to bring that we're going to soon learn about. Now, when you do me'ila, and here's an interesting thing. Before, when we learned about the me'ila, misusing the stuff of Hegdish, so the Torah says, if he uses it. The din of me'ila is not when I take it out of the Reis HaMikdash. When I use it. That is when the din of me'ila that we learned about before, that you paid the additional fifth, that applies when you used it. If you didn't use it, by mistake you just took an object of the Reis HaMikdash, there's no din of me'ila. This din is even if you didn't use the money. And we'll soon see what the Gemara says, that stealing from a person is worse than stealing from God. When you steal from God using the Beis HaMikdash things, that you have to actually use it to be called stealing. When you steal from a person, even if you didn't use it, you just stole it, then this din applies, if you swore falsely. Okay, so this is, now, why doesn't the person pay back the loan? Why doesn't the guy pay back the loan? Because the lender has no proof. Right? The guy lent money, no witnesses, no document, trusts the guy, which he should never trust a Jew. You lend the money, the guy doesn't pay back, and you have no proof. I gave you something to watch, I have no proof it's mine, you say it's yours, how can I get it back? So Gemara is discussing over here what you're really doing is denying that God saw. Hashem saw the loan. Hashem saw that the guy gave you the object to watch. What are you saying? It's not true. You never lent me the money. So you're basically lying against God's testimony.
And to the man.
Yeah, to the man, but you're lying against God's testimony. Okay, so therefore, and the Torah teaches us here something else. The Chinuch brings down in this mitzvah that what happens if a person steals money for a joke? He intends to pay it back. He's teasing the person. You're not allowed to do it. The Chinuch says we learn enough from this concept over here. Taking money, even if he says, here, lest someone think that there's no harm done in taking someone else's money as long as he intends to replace it, the Torah says it's not so. In the cases given below, even after the money is returned and the extra fifth is paid to the owner, he still has to bring a carbon. The question is, I stole money from you, I gave it back. Finished. Right, I'm saying that, you're right, that's what we're learning out from here, the Chinuch writes. The concept is, what's the proof? Very simple. The Torah says you have to give back the money, like we'll soon learn, plus an additional quarter, fifth quarter, plus you have to bring a carbon. Now what did you do wrong? Once you gave back the money, right, I'm done.
You couldn't cause any amount of damage without realizing.
Even if there's no monetary damage. There's a whole long story in the storybooks, I forgot which story, about a guy that played a joke on his friend and stole his money, and then he always wanted to give it back, but never the proper opportunity came up to be able to give it back, and the guy suffered because of it, and there was a Baal Shem Tov story, a whole story that happened because the guy, he took his money for a joke, and then...
Whatever.
Nothing. They finally ended up getting punished for it, and he had to do a tikkun or whatever.
What happened? Rabbi asked to give money for heaven. After he asked to collect the money, he said, "Give me the money for donation."
A guy called me this week. He lent the guy money. The guy was supposed to pay him back a week later. He went by a month. And he says to the guy, you know, maybe you'll pay me back the money. The guy says, you know it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to ask for the money. It says in Mishpatim, you're not supposed to ask for the money. So he calls me up, what did I say? 1 minute. He's allowed to do what he did, but you're not allowed to do what you're doing. I mean, where's this guy coming from? You know? But that's the way people work, you know.
Well, isn't that true that you see a guy that owes you money, you have to walk on the other side of the street so you don't embarrass him?
Yeah, that's if you know he doesn't have, and the only reason he's not paying you back is because he doesn't have, not because he doesn't want to. Okay? I mean, this particular phone guy, the guy said, I saw that the guy bought a purchase that was a luxury purchase that he didn't need, and he could have paid me back instead. I mean, that's not what the Torah is talking about. You know, you can't go around borrowing money from somebody and saying, well, you know, you're never allowed to ask me for the money. When I'm in the mood of it, I'll give it back. I mean, you know.
But on the other hand, how does he know that that purchase was for him and what did he make for somebody?
That's not the point over here. Trust me, it was. I'm sure it was. You don't need to. But you're not allowed to, in other words, any sin, which is understood, any sin between man to man is an aver between man and God. I mean, you know. What happened with the flood? The flood came about because people stole from one another. Here, Meral explains, being an interesting Meral. Meral explains that taking from someone else is worse because there is an owner who would resist and is deprived of his property. When someone takes from Hashem, he's not really removing anything from Hashem's ownership. Okay? So he says, like this, the Menalmi Prague explains a very interesting difference. Why is it, like we just said, by Me'ila, you have to use it and then you have the punishment. When you steal from the Beis HaMikdash. When you steal from a person, as soon as you steal it, all the stuff applies. And he explains like this. When you steal from a person, you're depriving the owner of his money. Right? The owner is taking away his money. When you steal from the Beis HaMikdash, when you're taking away something from Hashem, Hashem owns everything anyway. You're not really taking it away from Hashem, you're not depriving his ownership, because Hashem owns everything anyway. Once you use it, then you did an act of taking it away from Hashem, so to speak, because now you used it for yourself, when it was supposed to be used for Hashem. So therefore, the Rami Prague explains, Me'ila is not chayiv in the din of Me'ila, misusing the Beis HaMikdash, until you actually use it. Because that's when you deprive, so to speak, God from his ownership. But when it comes to another person, as soon as you take away their money, so then you took away their, you deprive them of the ownership of the goods. And therefore it's worse. And as we all know, why did the Mabul come? The flood came because the people stole, which would be Adam Lachavei, which was worse. Okay, so the pasuk says like this: if a person denied that he owed the money, or he found the lost article, be futile to give it back. And he swore falsely, meaning he says, "I don't owe you the money." That's what he swore. So he says, anything that he sinned in such things. So he says, when he will sin and will become guilty. So what does he have to do? Number one, you have to return the stolen object which you stole. Or the proceeds of what he took. Or the item which was given to him, that was given to him to watch. Or the lost article which he found. In those cases, he has to do both. Now, the Mefarshim explain, what does it mean? It's a double expression. He will sin, and he's guilty. So what does it mean? So they say, number one, simply it means, he sinned, but now he realized that he sinned. Well, he wants to make it up. Okay? But Rabbeinu Bechaya explains it a different thing. What does it mean? Ki yachta va'ashem? He said one is to God and one is to man. V'haya ki yachta, you're sinning to Hashem, and va'ashem, you become guilty to the neighbor that you stole the object from. This is what he says the double expression is. So by the way, this is the positive mitzvah, that if you steal something, you have a mitzvah of returning it. And therefore, there's a very interesting halach in the Gemara. There's a rule that lav hanitek la'asei, a lav which is connected to a positive mitzvah, which rectifies the negative mitzvah, you don't get lashes. You don't get lashes if you can fix the aveda with a positive mitzvah. For instance, the Torah says like this, don't steal. There's a positive mitzvah. One of the Ramach mitzvahs, I say, one of the 248 positive mitzvah is to return something you stole. So therefore, if somebody steals, as long as the object exists, they don't get whipped. Because they can always return it and rectify the sin that they did. If the object became destroyed, then it's a question, you have to pay back the money. Okay? But this, we'll soon see the details of this halacha. When somebody steals, let's say you have I want an iPod, yeah? And it's hard to buy. So I'll steal your iPod. Okay, let's say it's $200 or whatever it is. $200, you say, you know what? Okay, I'll pay you for what I stole. And you give him $200. You're not allowed to do that. You didn't get the mitzvah of returning the stolen object. The din is, if the stolen object exists, you must give it back. There's a few exceptions to this case that the Chachamim instituted, was called Mimnei Takonis HaShavim. What happens if somebody stole a beam from a building, and I built it into a building? Now the beam is there. So the Gemara says, listen, if we're going to make life too difficult to do tshuva, the guy ain't going to do it, right? What are you going to make him do? The beam is there. Okay, take apart the building and give him back the beam. The Gemara says, Takana Sashovim, that Takana for the people that want to do tshuva, we say, in that case, pay the money of the beam. Then you have to pay back the money. But you can't just say, you know what, I like your object, I'll steal it and I'll pay you for it, and we're equal. Once, as long as the exact item exists, you must give it back.
The guy stole the iPod, and he stuck $300 in an envelope, $100 more than the iPod, and put it under his door.
That's not true, though. It's not.
Yeah, more than it was.
Doesn't matter. If the object is there, then he has to do it. Now, if he comes over to the guy, who owned the iPod, and he said, you know something? Let me tell you something. I stole the iPod, okay? But I'll give you $300 for it. And the guy accepts it, that's fine. If he accepts it, it's fine. But if the guy says, no, I want my iPod, he can't. No, I'm giving you $400. It's not even worth that here. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's
by the way,
you have to return it in the same condition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You paid the way it was at the time you stole it. Kol ha-gazlonim mishamek shasek zela. By the way, I'll tell you a little secret. If somebody gives you something to watch, but the Mishnah calls a sheleach yad bepikad, and bar metzia, there's a whole argument between beshamim and besilim.
Metaltelim or lametaltelim?
No, karka you can never steal. Metaltelim, tangible items. If you give me this machine to watch, and you don't say I could use it, use it, you know, do me a favor, please watch it for me. And I use the machine, the second I use the machine, I become a ganef, and no matter what happens to the object, you have to give it back. Mashal shemer, like we learned in Mishpatim, shemer chinam or shemer socher. You're watching a cow, and the cow gets a heart attack and dies. Normal, you know, you didn't make it overwork or whatever. You're potter, right? If I steal somebody's cow, and the cow is in my barn being fed very well, and the cow dies, I can't say, well, you know, I'm sorry, what's the difference if the Malach HaMavis is there or here? Your cow's time came to go, so I'm not... Once you steal it, once you steal an object, no matter what happens to it, you have to give it back.
If
you're a shoel that you're borrowing it to use, or a renter that's renting it to use, that's a different story. But if I say to you, do me a favor, please watch this for me. According to Beis Shammai, the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, Hachoshev l'shloich yad b'pikadon. Beis Shammai says, even if you just thought to use it, you become a ganef. Beis Hillel says, no, you have to actually use it, then you become a ganef. That law is like Beis Hillel, as we know. But once, that, by the way, even though, you could say it like this, L'chad, I never stole it, you gave it to me. I didn't steal it from you. I'm just using it without your permission. That makes me a ganef. In fact, there's a, when in Bava Metzia, also and later on in the Shoyl, there's a din, Hashoyl Shalei Midas, if you borrow something without permission, you're a ganef. That means technically, if you had a pen on the table, and without your permission I borrowed the pen, you weren't in the room, whatever, I borrowed your pen to write something. Until the pen gets back to the owner, I am obligated in whatever happens to the pen, no matter what happens. Shol shalei midas, gazlenu. I didn't steal it. I'm not stealing. What am I stealing? I'm just writing, signing my name on a check for tzedakah. You can imagine. Signing my name on a check for tzedakah, that then is your ganef. What?
Yeah, gazlan.
The difference between ganef and gazlan is how you do it and when you do it. Meaning, a ganef steals discreetly in the middle of the night when nobody's around. So like the Gemara says, he's afraid of people, but he's not afraid of God. A gazlan is a guy that steals in broad daylight. A guy that steals in broad daylight. That's called a gazlan. A ganef pays kefil. A gazlan doesn't pay kefil. A ganef pays double, because the Gemara says, look at you, look how low you are. You're afraid of people, but not of God. A gazlan, he's a broad person. He ain't afraid of nobody. God's not afraid of, he's not afraid of people. So it says, okay, God and people are the same. So it's not so bad. Here, you're more afraid of people than for God. For that, you're going to pay double.
But if you're using the pen, you don't know who's the pen, you use it and put it back.
That's called a gun.
But you don't know who's the pen.
So what if you give somebody permission to use your computer?
If he borrowed the pen and then I borrowed it after him and kept it, he's responsible for the fact that I asked.
Yeah, but you're responsible to him. I mean, you know, everybody always says, there's an expression in the Gemara, Hagonev min Haganev Potter. Hagonev min Haganev is Potter. The Gemara says, if you steal from Haganev, you're Potter. So, if you don't know what you're learning, people think, okay, if you stole something and I steal from you, it's okay. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says a ganif min a ganif is potter from paying double. The second ganif doesn't pay double, only the first ganif pays double. Potter min a kefal, not potter from the keren, not from the principal you have to give back. What?
If somebody like leaves a hat at your house, you can't wear it?
No. I'll tell you another halacha. There's a Gemara and there's a Rambam and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Kelim, what's the lashon of the Gemara? Kelim is chalfen bebeis hamishta. That's the Gemara's expression. If you go, and people are not careful in this, but it's a very interesting din Shulchan Aruch. You go to shul, you hang up coats, yeah? Somebody by mistake took your coat. And there's another coat there. So obviously you guys switch coats. You can't use that coat. The Gemara calls it stealing. Kalev should nischalvu bebeis mishta. That's the lashon of the Gemara. It's a din Shulchan Aruch. It's a Rambam Shulchan Aruch mamish. Often a din. Open din. Nobody argues. Kalev should nischalvu bebeis mishta. In the party, somebody got exchanged. In our language, somebody took, by mistake took your coat or your hat. You can't.
So if you give somebody permission to use your computer, and they use it,
no.
And then the next day comes around, and they use it again.
It depends. Did he give you indefinite or only for today? No, it depends. What do you mean? Okay, we're not learning all the laws of stealing that we'll never finish. Okay.
If you know the guy probably doesn't mind it.
So it says in Halacha that if you know for sure the guy doesn't mind, but it really the din is only by say for, by tefillin and talis and that, because the Gemara says the reason because we assume that a person will be happy that you do a mitzvah. In Shulchan Aruch it says if you know for sure the person won't mind, you know. That's why you always argue with people that are not so frum, and you start arguing with them that in order to keep Bein Adam L'Chaver properly, you need Bein Adam L'Mokim. They said, no, we're very honest people, we don't steal. I said, yeah? You want to bet you steal? I said to them, do you ever walk into somebody's office and take a paper clip? I said, yeah. I said, you know what it's called stealing? I said, it's not yours and you stole it. What do you mean? Or any of these other things that happen. All these things are actually considered stealing. Okay, let's just finish this now. Om mikol ashi shavah l'sheket, or anytime you swear falsely, v'shila meisei b'reishe, you have to pay the principal to the, b'reishe means the principal, v'chamishi say yesev olav, you have to give an additional quarter, because we learned the fifth as a quarter, l'asheru lay to the one that it belongs to, yetnana b'yei mashmosa, you have to give it back the day you realize your sin. So you have to give it back. Now the Torah speaks about the carbon. You have to give the Hashem, you have to bring to Hashem. Ayol tamim min atzein, a ram pure from the tzein. Be'erkucha, and its value like we learn two shkalim. La'ashem al hakein, you have to bring it to the kain. V'chiper ol av hakein lefnei Hashem, the kain will forgive him. Before Hashem, v'nislach le'il, he'll be forgiven. You know, by the kain forgiving him, you become forgiven. Al achas mikol, for any of these things, ashayasid, that you do, la'ashma bot, to sin, and, you get the guilt. So it says, like this, the first to condemn man before God is the sin of robbery. The first sin that we see in Chumash was really punished people, was the sin of stealing. That's why he brought the marble. Adam is a personal sin. But the rest of the sins basically was, all these types of things. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll start Parshas Tzav.